are recording, just so everyone's aware. Good evening, everyone. We start tonight's meeting. I ask that we all rise for the pledge of the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan, present.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Present.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Present.
Ms. Laird.
Present.
Ms. Leon.
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm and Mr. Cologne.
Present. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Councilwoman Wilhelm will not be joining us this evening as she is away. Mayor Reynolds will not be joining us this evening, and Mr. Evans is remote to participate tonight. Before we get started, I will just ask, and I'll talk about it, but obviously the last time we were together was a budget meeting that we were here for 8 hours. So I will ask that public comment, we will have, as is custom, members of public can speak on anything not on the agenda that you'd like. For us members of council, I ask that any budget discussions or questions or monologues are saved for Thursday's budget hearing, which will be for any proposed budget amendments. Moving on, the approval of minutes. Minutes for the November 18, 2025 meeting. Any discussion on the minutes? None. The minutes will stand approved. Public comment. Excuse me, as is custom, we'll start with any subject not being voted on this evening. I remind everyone we have a 5-minute time limit. We have 4 people signed up, so I'll allow them to speak and then open it up to the room. Our first person signed up is Mike O'Hare.
Hello, Mike O'Hare, 4th Avenue, Bethlehem. Just wanted to thank everybody for preparing the budget, 14 hours of budget sessions. I counted when I looked at the YouTube videos, so a long process and a very marathon session on the third session of 8 hours. So much appreciated everybody hanging in there on that. I think it's good news that the city is in a healthy financial condition and that we're paying down debt. That's very good for the city, very good for everybody that's losing the city. On budget session one, I would say that I think the controller made a good point about, the way I take it, there was $10 million over the course of several years that was unexpected but now predictable income. And it seemed to me that the council didn't know that that was available or that was part of the budget process. So what could be done to formalize that so that there's better communication between council and administration about unexpected income that, you know, they plan to use for something? I thought that was something that was a little bit concerning to me. Not that there's anything inappropriate, but it's just something that council should, I think, formalize if there's that type of revenue that's unexpected but yet predictable. And I know Mr. Cologne had mentioned about how do we as a council look at the budgets, the account balances in the budget, and it seemed like the council is not able to do that. They're able to see the budget, but each department has a balance, and I don't know if that's something that council should be interested in looking at to make sure how things are going throughout the year. Budget session number 3, the 8-hour session. It's been mentioned several times that we don't want to fund ongoing operations, sustainable things with one-time funding like grants. But I thought it was a little bit contradictory that the Community and Economic Development Bureau, from what Ms. Collins said, they're 96% funded by grants. And yet there seems to be a reluctance to use grants for other issues. So I thought that was a little bit contradictory that grants are not allowed to be used for, and I know there's restrictions on grants and you can only use it for certain things, but I just thought that reasoning didn't follow through with some of the things I was hearing in those budget meetings. So my question or my comment would be, I know the fire department is 8 people down. I heard all the comments and it's very concerning, especially when you have like things that happened on Sunday with not only one fire but 2 other incidences across the city, and finally there's nobody available to respond. Could some of that money, grant money, or some other salaries that are not being used, or 8 people down that salaries are sitting there, can some of that money be used towards retention, recruitment? You're 8 people short. Why want to get that department up to the current staffing level that it should be, and it seems like there's problems with recruiting and retention, that sort of thing, and then work on expanding the department if the studies show that it's appropriate. I agree with the $60,000 study. Why would the city want to add four positions unless they're sure objectively that they're needed? I know the IAFF study came through and that shows what's happening, and that's good. But I'm thinking to myself, as a taxpayer, this is a negotiating year. So of course the IAFA is going to say that. So I think the city should be careful and, get those positions up to snuff and then make sure that there are objective studies that prove that they do need these additional positions. And then, let's see. Oh, I do agree that also another comment that came back with the community and development economic, I don't know what that, I'm all tongue-tied with that, was that there should be a more transparent process about how the grants are awarded. I think Ms. Cramsey Smith said something about that. And I know the comment was made, well, they're on the website. But I think council should at least get copies of who these grants are going to so that they can make comment. They should approve them. They should review them so that they know how that money is being spent. I'm sure it's being spent well, but I think it's in the interest of transparency to make sure that happens. And then just one other thing. I'm running out of time. I want to invite everybody on December 13th and 14th out to the live Christmas pageant in the Rose Garden. It's the 46th year of the live Christmas pageant. They bring live animals in. They do a reenactment of the birth of Christ, and it's a beautiful time. It's 1:45 to 3 o'clock each day. I'd invite each one of you to come out and be part of that, and thanks for your time.
Thank you, Mr. O'Hare. Our next speaker is Mark Will Weber.
Mark Will Weber, 66 West Elizabeth Avenue again. I just want to revisit the ongoing thing with the downloadable apps, especially in light of the fact that Mr. Boscola was beginning the drumbeat for a rate increase. And I would implore council to not grant any kind of rate increase until at least on the contingency that we get this downloadable apps to protect the consumer or citizen. By that I mean the Ion Water app or Aqua Hawk or something similar, because if you're going to jack up the rates again and not provide any protection on the downside for people, it's like raising the stakes in a poker game where Fast Eddie holds all the chips and the other people have a tiny bit of chips and we're going to kick up the price of poker. So if you get nailed now for like the situation I got nailed for, it's going to be quite a bit more than I have to pay. Where if I'd had Aqua Hawk or Ion Water, I could have prevented that. I wouldn't have had a $600 bill or whatever it was, not to mention a lot of sleepless nights. So it's imperative, I think, that you guys don't rubber stamp a rate hike on water. And he's going to say, oh, we haven't had one since 2021, but you had a sewer increase last year, right? So does it really matter, like if you're an amateur boxer and they send you out to fight Larry Holmes, do you care whether you got decked by a right hook or a left jab? It doesn't really matter. So if you're going to go every other year, okay, we'll jack them up on the sewer this year, get them again on water in a year or two, you end up seeing five or six rate increases across a decade. That's a lot of money if somebody retired in 2017 and is on fixed income. The least you can do is come through with this downloadable app. And I think if you make it contingent, any rate hike on that, it will give Mr. Bosco a little incentive to actually do it. And it's routinely done all across the country in many places. You've seen me up here with my list. I think maybe next meeting for Christmas, I'll print out a list for you guys. You can put it in your stock. Okay? But it has to be done. If it's not done, you're really leaving people vulnerable. And electric's going through the roof, and there's nothing you guys can do about that. I don't think you can do anything about Palestine, by the way, when I'm here. But you could do something about water. And I think it's imperative that you do the right thing here. I'm actually, I probably won't even live in this city 2 or 3 years from now, but I have this morbid curiosity to see if local government's actually worthwhile. And this would be a litmus test for me. I think it should be done. It's done everywhere else. I just looked at this place, Beaufort, South Carolina, and they have it. They have 70,000 meters, so double what we're going to have. When it's finally completed, we'll have 37,000. And yet, there are people that buy on water. And they have their officials on there showing people how to download it, how to use it, why they should have it. It's going to save you a lot of money. And they use it as an incentive to get people to accept the smart meters. Okay? It's also, I think it's imperative that you guys get exact figures on how much money they already are making on the smart meters. You didn't have a chart for that. But I suspect they're making tens of thousands already on that, and with a possibility to make more than that. And I get that figure from other places that are on the record of saying they're going to make 500,000 plus off the smart meters, and it's 27,000 meters. Okay? And anecdotally, I get it because people are on there going, my rates are up. So if everybody's rates even go up 10 bucks a quarter, do the math on that times 37,000. Okay? If I'm totally wrong on that, I'd like to hear somebody come up and tell me where I'm wrong on it. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Weber. Our next speaker signed up is Michael Liberto.
How you doing? Mike Liberto, also known as the Bethlehem Brawler. Bethlehem is a city built on strength, tradition, faith, but right now our safety is being gambled away. The fire department is, the very people sworn to protect our families, is running nearly half at staff. This isn't just a mistake, this is incompetence. This is incompetent leadership from the mayor to allow the fire department to operate at a dangerously low numbers. Every second matters when lives are on the line. Yet, our firefighters are stretched beyond their limits, forced to risk everything without the manpower they deserve. Do we really want to wait until another tragedy strikes before change is made? Bethlehem deserves better. Our families deserve better, and our firefighters deserve better. We must demand accountability now before a preventable death forces action. The time to stand up is today, and it's actually 12 firefighters that are down in the city, and that's just unexcusable. This mayor talks about nonstop about affordable housing, but 3 years later, nothing has been built. Not one home, not one shelter, not one project. Actually helping people here. Bethlehem spent nearly millions of dollars, and what did we get in return? A stack of reports, no results, no broken ground, just excuses. Meanwhile, local nonprofit churches and community groups, the people actually doing the work, were ignored while he wrote checks to consultants nobody asked for. And where is the mayor during all this? Missing meetings, missing in action, missing when the community needs to have leadership. Bethlehem doesn't need another speech. Bethlehem needs a mayor who shows up and gets things done. It does not need virtual signaling, putting up transgender and gay pride flags. That's not leadership that builds a future. That is an incompetent mayor. Thank you.
Our next speaker is Lynn Rothman.
Good evening, Lynn Rothman, 870 Wofford Lane. I'm speaking tonight on behalf of the Environmental Advisory Council members Ben Felzer, Ben Guthrie, Vibhar Kumar, Steve Olszewski, Mandy Tolino, and Katie Trembler to present our year-end report. The EAC's 2025 meetings were hybrid via Zoom and in person at Northampton Community College. Our most important work is supporting the city's Climate Action Plan, or CAP, which aims to reduce our carbon footprint, increase sustainability, and utilize alternative energy sources. To that end, we participate on 5 of the city's internal CAP committees to implement the strategies of the CAP. This year, the EAC's Green Committee's Heritage Tree Program certified 3 trees. We submitted the annual Birdtown report with input from the city, especially Mike, thank you. And out of 4 levels, with 4 the highest, Bethlehem achieved level 4. Bethlehem Backyards for Wildlife is an active standing committee of the EAC. This year, they and community volunteers continue to maintain demonstration gardens at the Hoover Mason Trestle, Rose Garden, Meadow on the South Side Greenway, and native perennial plantings at Madison Park on the South Side. Our Waste Reduction Committee worked with the City's Food and Waste CAP Committee and the Health Department to create and issue a survey for local restaurants with the aim of reducing plastic waste. We're in the process of analyzing the survey results and determining next steps. Our Transportation Committee continues to work with the City to further the Complete Streets initiatives, including ways to make EV chargers available for those without access to a garage. It's been the practice of the Department of Planning and Zoning to give the EAC the opportunity to comment on proposed developments. The updated SALDO now requires that plans be submitted to the EAC for review. We commented on 16 proposed developments this year. All of our correspondence can be found on our website, BethlehemEAC.org. Other EAC activities in 2025 include tabling at 5 community events, co-sponsoring Monocacy Creek cleanups in the spring and fall through the Monocacy Creek Watershed Association, attending the EAC State Network Conference, mentoring Lehigh University students on research projects, and speaking about the EAC and plastic reduction at the Bethlehem Rotary Club. Presentations at EAC meetings included updates to the SALDO, Lehigh University students presenting on air quality and forest carbon research projects, and Nurture Nature Center's Create Connections Project update and next steps. Our EAC continued to participate as a key member of the steering committee of the Lehigh Valley EAC Network, which is composed of all EACs in the Lehigh Valley. In June, we held a successful in-person networking meeting, and in October, we hosted a plastics reduction webinar. We hold monthly breakfasts to share information and coordinate on topics of mutual interest. The hiring of Sarah DeGrendel as sustainability manager has been a tremendous gain in terms of advancing the implementation of the CAP. She has demonstrated leadership in coordinating the individuals and activities associated with the CAP implementation. Sarah is extremely knowledgeable and easy to work with. Our first collaboration was updating EAC and CAP brochures to distribute at tabling events. In 2026, the EAC looks forward to partnering with Sarah and the city staff to increase public education regarding the city's waste stream, reuse of materials, and plastic reduction, explore ways to increase opportunities for solar energy systems, and implement the strategies in the soon-to-be-approved Urban Forestry Master Plan to increase our forest canopy. Our great appreciation to Tad Miller, City Clerk, Bettina Bubba, Assistant City Clerk, and Stephanie Aguello, Chief of Staff, for their assistance. We're grateful to Darlene Heller, former Director of Planning and Zoning, Kathy Fletcher, current Director of Planning and Zoning, Craig Pfeiffer, Assistant Director of Planning and Zoning, and their administrative staff, Stephanie Sebesta, for the generous amount of time they give to the EAC. Thanks to Michael Alcohol, Director of Public Works, and Vasily Yandem, Chief of Engineering and Deputy Director of Public Works, for their department's ongoing contributions to Bethlehem City. We also recognize and thank our Council City Liaison, Colleen Laird, for her support. Finally, we commend City Council and the administration for their support of the Climate Action Plan, especially the hiring of Sustainability Manager. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rothman, and I'll just speak for council. I want to say we appreciate the time you've put into the EAC. To those who are not aware, Ms. Rothman is cycling off the EAC at the end of this year, so thank you. And please don't be a stranger to council meetings, even after you're off the EAC. That concludes our list of who had signed up before the meeting, so I'll go around the room. Anyone to the left who wants to make comment? Sir with the baseball cap on.
Hi, everyone. Lou Jimenez, President of 735. I want to thank City Council and the administration for taking the time to listen to our experiences during the recent discussions on staffing of the fire department. You want us to hear us. The ones who do the work every day meant a great deal to us. It showed many of you understand that we're not just numbers. We're real world people. We impact the real world impact of the staffing crisis as on people who respond, the people we serve, and the safety of our entire city. For decades, we have talked about staffing levels that have not kept pace with our city. It's a chronic problem that has been documented for over 15 years. You can see this all over the internet, and you can look at all the files. Staffing problems do not stabilize on their own, they worsen. And when you consider that years ago we had more firefighters than we do today, are running nearly half the call volume, it becomes obvious we have been doing more with less for too long. Adding four firefighters and amending the budget is not extravagant. They're a critical and long overdue first step. It would finally allow us to properly staff our Northwest Station and improve coverage citywide. Ideally, we should be discussing eight positions instead of four, but this is a good faith start. Many of you who know me personally, and for those who don't, I want to be very clear about who we are as Local 735. Over the past 2 years, we've worked collaboratively with administration. Together, we have helped improve the firefighter physical process, fix emergency call-out procedures, helped create an online bidding system, and we're part of the modernization of scheduling and overtime management. We also, the Local 735 Bid Committee helped secure $100,000 in AFG grants for cancer screenings and early detection testing. Those improvements weren't achieved through conflict, they were achieved through cooperation. Our reputation speaks professionalism, respect, and integrity. But despite this history of collaboration, when it comes to staffing, the issue that matters most to us, we continue to face resistance. SAFER grants exist specifically to help cities hire firefighters and offset costs. They were designed for situations like ours, yet we are repeatedly being told that we can't apply. And I want to be very clear about this. Advocating for staffing is not an option for us. It's a necessity. For years, our pleas for adequate staffing have not been taken seriously, and every time we raise the concerns, the response is yet another delay, another reason to wait, another promise, push to next time. Because of that, Local 735 will continue to educate the residents of the city of Bethlehem via social media, via interview, whatever, what have you, on fire safety. Our advocacy is not about politics. It's about protecting lives, and we'll continue to speak up until that meaningful change happens. We had an eight-hour meeting the other night. You know, we had multiple generations of Bethlehem Fire Department personnel talk about staffing issues over the course of a half a century. Yet we're not listened to. You know, as president of Local 735, my mission is simple: to ensure our membership has a quality of life supported by the safest working conditions possible. We cannot talk about transparency or collaboration while critical staffing decisions are always being delayed. We're not the Bethlehem of the Bethlehem Steel era. We're a growing city with dense housing, multi-story apartments, major manufacturing, expanding warehousing, and a daytime population that far exceeds our census. And yet our staffing has moved backwards for more than 15 years. And let me be absolutely clear, we're always under the microscope. Every time we raise concerns, every time we advocate for safety, we're scrutinized. And I will not allow that to continue at the expense of our members or the residents of our city. It's dangerous when the people who run into burning buildings must sit across the table and plead for the staffing required for their own survival and the safety of the public. It signals that the subject matter experts, the firefighters who are doing this job, are not being taken seriously unless the solution costs nothing. The staffing conditions being considered are necessary, reasonable, and long overdue. This can be a monumental step forward for Bethlehem. I ask City Council to consider an amendment to hire 4 additional firefighters in the 2026 budget. On behalf of Local 735, I respectfully ask that you do this and we continue to work together collaboratively. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jimenez. Is there anyone else to the left who wants to make comment? Sir?
I said enough of that.
We'll be here Thursday. Mr. Virgilio.
Robert Virgilio, resident of Bethlehem for 38 years. I just have a question. For those of us who don't subscribe to our wonderful papers, December, I believe, is the month that Norfolk Southern is supposed to extract the homeless. Can anyone speak to that issue if I missed something, or is that still going to take place?
Thank you, Mr. Virgilio. Is there anyone else to the wide center who hasn't had a chance to speak? I think that covers it. Anyone to the right? Thank you. We're going to move on. Our second public comment is on ordinances or resolutions to be voted on. No one had signed up in advance. So again, this would be for any ordinance or resolution on the agenda. Anyone in the public want to comment on anything we're taking a vote on? Seeing none, we'll continue on. Old business, any old business for members of council? Seeing no old business, I'll move on to new business. I just want to announce, as I kind of referenced at the top of the meeting, or I did reference, I kind of, that we have received a few proposed amendments to the 2026 city budget. So as we had discussed, we will hold the scheduled meeting to review those amendments at 6 p.m. this Thursday, December 4th, here in Town Hall. As a reminder, the second reading and enactment of the 2026 City of Bethlehem budget will occur during the December 16th council meeting, and that meeting is at 7 p.m. in Town Hall. So on Thursday, we'll listen to the proposed amendments. Should they have the votes, then they will be adopted into the budget that will be read and voted on December 16th. And should the amendments not pass, then we'll vote on the budget as it currently stands. Any other new, one other thing, just as a follow-up to previous meeting, it had come up, Councilman Cramson Smith had spoke about our conflict of interest ordinance that council had passed maybe 3 years ago, and then our solicitor, Attorney Stewart, who sits to my left, had distributed a legal opinion to all of council. So I just want to follow up during the meeting. I'm not gonna read the full opinion other than a highlight of it, and now this is Attorney Seward, who had shared it is her legal opinion that there's a disconnect between the stated purposes of our ordinance as is set forth in the whereas clauses in the beginning of the ordinance and the definition section and the conduct prescribed thereunder. That is, after defining official action, the ordinance, our ordinance, limits prescribed conduct only to voting. Further, the definition of a city official in the ordinance does not align with section 3A, stating to whom the ordinance applies. Attorney Stewart had recommended that council could consider amendments to the ordinance to address the inconsistencies in the ordinance that we had passed, and then to help ensure that the operative provisions align with the purposes. Now, if council would choose to amend that, and Attorney Stewart recommends using the Pennsylvania Public Officials and Employees Ethics Act as a guiding statute. That's our state statute that already applies to all of us. We have our biannual training from the State Ethics Commission here in Town Hall, and we'll have it again in 2026 when the new council gets sworn in. So just like any other amendments, just like any other amendments to ordinances, just like we did with Article 112, just like we have with our council rules or anything that I've acted on, last year or two, it would require someone to propose amendments, and then council could review the amendments to the existing ordinance. So I wanted to follow up on what had been brought up during the last meeting, and that Attorney Stewart did indeed respond to the request. So I will just let's touch on that, but I will open it up to other members of council. That's all I have for new business. Any other new business for members of council? Callahan.
I just wanted to, she's not here, no. I just want to ask, there was a shooting.
Deputy Chief Mikesell is here, I will recognize that.
There was a shooting over by the football fields, I think like the second week of November. Is there any update on that? Like, did we ever find out who?
I don't have any updates.
Chief, if you don't mind just coming to the microphone so that the recording can pick it up.
I don't have any update for you tonight, but no one was ever apprehended or anything.
I'm not intimately familiar with that.
Okay, now. All right, thank you. Thanks. And then last thing is I do agree with Mr. Liberto on his one point that the mayor needs to be held accountable. I wish he was here tonight. I don't know where he is. Any idea where he is, Mr. Spurk or Mr. Call?
I was not at staff today. I don't know.
Okay. Thank you.
I will share, the mayor did message me earlier today to advise the reason he wouldn't be here. I'm not going to share publicly that, as I don't put people's business out
right.
At the meeting, but I will recognize that Mayor Reynolds did message me during the day today to advise.
I was just curious, because it's like the 8th out of 10th or 11th.
Understood, Mr. Callahan.
Thank you.
Any other new business from members of council?
Me?
Councilwoman Kuyatek?
I as the mother of an amazing transgender woman, I just can't let it go, and it's not virtue signaling when you show some support for a community that is incredibly targeted, and my daughter's entire career is being upended by a culture war in this current administration in the federal government that is basically throwing her out of the Navy, which was her greatest dream. She went to officer candidate school. She passed every test. She met every milestone. She was stationed on a ship about to, be trained to launch Tomahawk missiles and be a surface warfare officer. And it didn't matter what her gender identity was to her fellow, sailors. And so I just want to say that there are real people behind those flags, as well as the real people in our fire department, and maybe think about what you mean by virtue signaling when you're talking about people like my daughter, who was willing to put her life on the line for this country, and is being told by someone who clearly is out of his depth in the Pentagon that she doesn't belong there. So that's all.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any other new business from members of council? Councilman Cramson-Smith.
Oh, I just want to go back to, so I'm clear. So as far as the conflict of interest ordinance, so we won't be looking at a committee of the whole meeting. We'll be looking at if we so desire to submit amendments to it. Is that correct?
So I don't think a committee of the whole, I guess my question would be, what would we be doing at a committee of the whole meeting? Other than, so Attorney Stewart gave her legal opinion. The ordinance exists now as it's passed and is available online for anybody to read. And then should anyone want to propose amending the ordinance, then we could get together to engage in that process of what it looks like to amend.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it would probably be better just to our individuals to do amendments. But the committee of the whole would be good to discuss it further, since I know the people that Councilwoman Bamor and Negron really put a lot of time and really wanted this to be a solid ordinance, but it sounds like it really isn't, except for council members at this point. So, thank you. And I would just reiterate, I mean, I know things happen and all, but I think it is, again, especially it's budget time and we have some really pressing, serious public safety issues in our city, especially given what happened on Sunday with the fire department. And I think that I'll just state publicly, I think the mayor needs to really make an effort to be here. I know there are things that come up, but like I said at the last meeting or before, that it's more the exception than the rule that he is here. And I think that's a real disservice to people that come, as well as people that listen online and people that follow up and want to be involved via media, social media, and the newspaper. And the other thing, the final thing is, as Mr. Virgilio said, I was just wondering, can somebody give an update? Because I think it's the deadline is it the 17th or the 16th for Norfolk Southern?
15th.
The 15th, so we won't have a meeting before that deadline, I believe, because our next meeting is the 16th. Does anybody have an update on what's happening with those that are at a house down by the railroad tracks? Oh, thank you.
December 15th is the date in question. Okay. We've been working with Norfolk Southern and many groups to make the community aware down there that is the date. We work with them to find where our services can be provided to make them aware of what's available to them, including the shelters, to try and find housing or programs for them before then. But that is the date that Norfolk Southern has come.
Thank you. Do you have any idea how many are still living there or that haven't, you know, been relocated yet or that are maybe resistant to relocating?
Not right now at the moment, because now the weather's changed drastically, so that's usually a driving factor of people living outside, that when the weather really does start to get cold, many will seek shelter indoors, some won't, but it changes the landscape greatly from the summertime. So the last count was when the weather was much warmer than what it is right now, being in the frigid temperatures this week.
I'm sorry, the last count, what, do you know what the last count was when it wasn't as cold?
It's changed over the time. It's went from 50, it's grown up to 60, it's gone down to 40-something, so it depends, you know, greatly on the weather. So it could be much lower right now. I don't have a count for you tonight.
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
Any other new business from members of council? Councilwoman Leo.
I had a question for our solicitor. When it comes to the rate increases, can we make them contingent on something like Aquahawk? Is that something that we're allowed to do? Like, can we add that to an ordinance? You can look at swing it back.
I understand the legal principles around what you're talking about. I'm just not sure I understand your specific question.
Well, because what Mark had said, we should, if we are going to do a rate increase, which he's right, Mr. Roscoe had alluded to the fact that we would be doing a rate increase, he said we probably shouldn't do it unless we were willing to do Aquahawk. And I understand that we have to do our internal, you know, upgrades of our systems, but can we make the rate increase contingent on, like, we're willing to do the rate increase, but we want to see Aquahawk in place prior to doing the rate increase?
What I would say is that generally, if you are imposing a fee, a rate, that you should be basing that on the cost of the service. So what is the service? What does it include? If it includes Aquahawk, that should be factored in.
If I could just interrupt. I think this question was asked previously on the floor, if I'm not mistaken.
You know, bad brain.
Understood. And I think we kind of landed on it would just be a matter of how we, right. And this could obviously be followed up on. We're talking about future actions that are currently before council. But I think we had landed on it would just take a potentially creative ordinance. But also it speaks to the historically, a rate increase is tied to an operational need. As we hear, the cost of doing business goes up, cost of labor, cost of materials, things like that. Historically, that's the justification for the rate increase. So then you're potentially creating an imbalance of sorts to say, well, we're going to hold a rate increase to solve a economic problem, right? You're trying to raise revenue while costs and operating costs keep going up to this other action, but I think it would just be a creative ordinance potentially that could address that, but that would be, there could be more time to look into that.
Yeah, depending upon the specific ideas that you have, we'd have to look at whether and how we could incorporate them.
The second set of questions I had was also for you. So if we were looking at proposing the ethics ordinance where you said that we would not, obviously would not call a committee of a whole meeting without having purpose. So if there were ethics ordinance, or if there are amendments to the ethics ordinance, like the thing you suggested, we would just get them to you, and then, you know, council would decide what to do from there. Maybe a committee of a whole meeting, or whatever, to discuss whatever amendments might be made with the input that you had given.
As President Colon stated, I think that it makes sense to come to the table with a proposed amended ordinance, so that we have something to discuss, something to start from. Based on my review, I have some recommendations. and I'd be happy to work with anybody who would be interested in proposing an amended ordinance.
I remind everyone I'm only present for a few more weeks. So that ordinance had gone to committee of the whole. We had multiple committee of the whole meetings when Councilwoman Van Wert and whoever else had proposed it. I would recommend, and it's the will of the next council president, and council, as a council president, is the chair of the committee of the whole, to do the same. Get together, get council together, if there's something to review, rather than come to a committee of the whole meeting to just read what, again, is available now for anybody who wants to read online.
I guess the last thing I'll say is we have had quite a tense budget meeting. I think one of the things that I would just hope that we don't, in advocating for one community, we do not have to denigrate any other community. That's just, we can advocate for our communities based on the merit, not based on anything else. We raise multiple flags here all of the time. The Adidas flag just got raised, Puerto Rican flag just got raised, the Italian flag, we raised all the flags. And having known Lucy, it would have been an honor to have served with her. She's an amazing person. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other new business for council? Councilman Perry.
Yes, so can Deputy Chief, do you have any details or any idea of what the any enforcement operations on December 15th may look like along the canal, and or who is leading the operation? Like, I believe it was put out that Norfolk Southern Police are doing it and they may ask for assistance.
Yeah, so we will be there at Bethlehem Police Officers with Norfolk Southern officers, just to ensure how everything goes, you know, so we can help de-escalate any situations that may arise. There are various parcels down there. It's not all Norfolk Southern. There is some city property. So as we work through the entirety, you know, of the area, you know, work to move people out of there. Hopefully everybody leaves willingly. We can find, help everybody find a location for them to go. And work towards that. That's why we've expended numerous trips down there and a lot of time really building relationships with them to know, so they understand the gravity of what is coming, that it is a eviction, so to speak, from that area. They have to find some location to go and how to kind of move forward.
Okay. And if people, you know, hopefully people will be able to move their belongings out as the date approaches. If there are people with belongings still there at the time of eviction, will there be any assistance for them to get it into something to transport it out, that type of thing?
I'm sure we'll be able to come up with solutions to, you know, different problems that we arise, that we encounter and deal with as it comes.
And will the Health Bureau also be with you down there, or is it just the police that day?
Certain members from Community Connections will be with us.
Okay, great. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you. And then my other comment, I think this will be Ms. Rothman's last time here in person in her current role. So I just wanted to say thank you for, you know, all of the work that you and the rest of the committee do. But you, it's a volunteer role. It's a volunteer group of people who spend countless hours of time and talent trying to help the city in a lot of ways. So, and really creative ways. I've enjoyed working with you and seeing how, you know, okay, well, this isn't going to work, but let's look at this and really try to make progress where progress can be made. So thank you again for all of your time and efforts on that. That's all I have.
Any other new business from members of council? Mr. Callan?
Chief, last meeting we asked to have numbers for the number of calls we had to go up to Lehigh and Moravian and St. Luke's.
Yes, good evening. That information was sent to the clerk by Deputy Chief Baer, who compiled that information. That was sent, I want to say, last Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have those figures with me this evening, but we compiled as much of that data as we possibly could. in the short amount of time, and that data was submitted. And again, I apologize.
I'm going to miss it. I get hundreds of emails a day.
No, I understand. It was very difficult to extract all that information because of a lot of physical addresses for those facilities, but we did the best we could to provide accurate data for you.
Okay. And then my last topic is, can both solicitors get back to us? Steph, I don't know if you were here for that budget meeting, but we were talking about trying to find a way to, because there's literally hundreds of calls up to Lehigh every year between EMS and fire, not so much the police department because they have their own police department on site, on campus. Is there a way, or is there any legal way for us to assess like a $50 fee per student for students that go to school within the city of Bethlehem? So that'd be for Moravian students and Lehigh students. There's over 8,300 students between two universities, and I think assessing them a $50 fee for emergency services is very small, considering the amount of times that we have to go up there and service those two schools. And also noted that the two universities pay, because they're nonprofits, pay absolutely nothing in city taxes to the city coffers. So if we could have, between yourself and Mr. Spurk, legal advice by next, or by this Thursday.
I will start the research now.
Yeah, I had asked Mr. Spurk to look in. I don't know if you had a chance to.
So it would only be against those two nonprofits,
right?
Or
St. Luke's. Well, the other thing that we talked about too was the number of times we were going to St. Luke's and Fountain Hill.
But you would pick specific nonprofits to charge.
If possible, I right now. The main thing that I want to do is the student fee. Our city's allowed to levy a small fee for students that are attending schools within the city limits.
I understand.
So, because I think if we could assess a $50 fee starting in January, a yearly fee, which is a very small amount of money, compared to the larger amount of money that they pay in tuition, and that covers their EMS and fire services for the entire year. If we take that 8,300 number of students in the city of Bethlehem and multiply it by 50, it's a substantial amount of money that I think that would cover the minimum, the four firefighters that we're desperately trying to add.
Mr. Callahan, we're restating what we talked about at the budget meeting, and I'm potentially going to talk about again on Thursday. I think the solicitors understand.
Right. I just want to make sure that we have the information available for Thursday.
Understood.
Thank you.
Councilman.
The numbers that that were just requested were emailed by the clerk to all of council on the 25th. There are many spreadsheets. I'm not sure if you're the numbers about the calls to colleges and other nonprofits as well, because I had asked not specifically Mr. Spurk about universities, but about large residential nonprofits. So that would include hospitals, healthcare centers, assisted living, that kind of thing, that are nonprofit run. And the fire department did provide that information on November 25th before the deadline for submitting amendments, which was what my request had been.
Thank you. Any other new business from members of council? I'll just ask the administration as a whole for our next meeting on December 16th if we could get a report about, as it relates to the proceedings with Norfolk Southern, and just some numbers about how many people were found lodging, how many people were willing to get help from the city, and just an overall more comprehensive update as it relates to the police, community connections, any other healthcare involvement. Just if somebody should be prepared to give an update on that to council for the 16th. Thank you. Moving on to communications, 6A.
November 20th, 2025, memorandum and proposed resolution from Health Director Kristen Wenrick. Ms. Wenrick seeks authorization to execute an agreement with Capacity for Change LLC of Westchester, PA, to assist the Health Bureau with creation of a new strategic plan. Cost is $14,700 and completion is expected by June 30th of 2026. There are no renewals. Capacity for Change has facilitated the last two strategic plans.
And Resolution 10B is on the agenda tonight. Yeah, that's from the communication reports. I don't have anything to report tonight. Turn to the administration. I know Mr. Evans is remote.
Nothing from the mayor's. No report.
Mr. Evans, do you have something?
Yeah, just from the administration, we didn't want to acknowledge receiving the six budget amendment proposals that we will address and work with council on Thursday night. We wanted to confirm, are there any others, or I think I heard you say earlier in the meeting, that was the final count then, the six amendments.
Can you just restate your question, Mr. Evans?
Is that the total amendments for Thursday night are six?
There were six amendments submitted to the clerk's office. Now there was communication from our solicitor about proposed that, as has been, so it came up, can council propose amendments at the meeting on Thursday? I had Mr. Miller look into past notes and minutes from previous meetings, as I don't think I've ever presided over a council meeting for budget amendments, or if I did, maybe it was my first year as chair, but there will be an opportunity before I adjourn, I'll poll council to consider if there's anything else that's being proposed that evening. Now, I did share with council it's best practice to share anything in advance, because I think a reasonable person would want any information sooner rather than later before being put on the spot as it relates to moving money around. But to answer your question, there are six amendments that have been presented, that have been communicated. We will meet on Thursday to review the six amendments, but as has been past practice, there will be a confirmation that there are no other amendments proposed on the floor before I adjourn the meeting.
Okay. And then amendments that would be brought up on the floor, is that something that needs to be advertised or is eventually, I'm just looking for, with regard to transparency and that information is available to everybody. So as you said, not to be forced to decide on the fly, is it something that's required to be put in writing and considered on the 16th, or that can just be brought up and instituted immediately?
So I will talk, I'll give the floor to our solicitor, but my understanding is we would be advertising any changes to the budget that we would be voting on the 16th should an amendment be adopted on Thursday.
Okay.
And that council has the ability to propose amendments during the public meeting on Thursday. It's advertised as a budget amendment meeting, and that council members can propose amendments on the fly. I don't mean to be dismissive of it, but again, I think best practice is to do what Councilwoman Cramsey Smith has done and put her amendments forward and communicate them out to everyone. But there will be an opportunity, as has been previous practice for council, to do that. Now, should anyone choose to do that, of course, that requires the support of council. There needs to be the same balance. But in terms of what that would look like in terms of advertising or writing, there would have to be a clear understanding of what we're amending. And then, again, I'll turn to our solicitor, we would then advertise those amendments before the second reading of the budget ordinances at our December 16th meeting. Is that a fair summary, Attorney Stewart?
That is correct.
Did that answer your question, Mr. Evans?
Yeah, very clear. Understood. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I will move on to our Finance Committee Chair, Councilwoman Cramsey Smith.
Thank you. The Finance Committee met early this evening at 6 p.m. in Town Hall. The 2024 city audit was reviewed. A proposed budget transfer to purchase additional police vehicles also was discussed. Regarding the police vehicles, it will be on the agenda tonight to transfer $645,000 from the police salary fund to purchase police vehicles that are needed within the next upcoming year. The money is available because of vacancies within the police department. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Moving on to ordinances for final passage, 8A.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2025. Bill number 58, 2025, is sponsored by Ms. Kliatek and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion? Call roll.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. 8B.
The ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending Article 112 of the codified ordinances entitled Campaign Finance Reports. Bill number 59, 2025, is sponsored by Ms. Kliatek and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion? Call roll.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. We have no new ordinances this evening. Resolutions 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that $645,000 be transferred from account number 0601-40001, police salaries, to account number 0801-42083, non-utility, purchase additional police vehicles. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Cramsey-Smith and Ms. Leone.
Discussions? Call roll.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Capacity for Change, LLC, to assist the Health Bureau in preparing a new strategic plan. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Cramsey-Smith and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? Call roll.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. I'll accept a motion and a second to group 10C through 10F.
Second. As one.
Motion by Councilwoman Laird.
Second.
Second by Councilwoman Leone. Any discussion on the motion to group them together? Mr. Miller, please call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Motion passes 6-0. I think I kept saying 7-0. Please read the certificates of appropriateness, Mr. Miller.
Certificates of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem resolutions are hereby granted for 10C. 25 East 3rd Street to install one new wall sign with LED illuminated backlit channel letters within the sign band and five new printed vinyl signs within the storefront transoms for a new commercial tenant. 10D. 13 through 15 East 3rd Street to modify the existing sign band and storefronts, including replacement of existing display case to create a new entrance vestibule. Also to paint the existing continuous bands of cast stone windowsills. 10E, 312 East 4th Street to install a new ADA compliant ramp with pipe railings. And 10F, 21 East 3rd Street to install one new wall sign with LED illuminated backlit channel letters and one non-illuminated projecting blade sign for a new commercial tenant. The resolutions are sponsored by Ms. Cramsey-Smith and Ms. Leone.
Discussion on the group? Call the roll, Mr. Miller.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kliatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Group passes 6-0. That concludes tonight's agenda. Get home safe, everyone. Meeting adjourned.